listener production.
Hey, Bension Siebert here. Welcome to the final episode of The Briefing's investigative series, Doctor's Note. In this series, we've revealed how Australia's online medical certificate industry is turning traditional healthcare on its head. We, the patients, are being asked to assess our own medical condition and assure the doctors that we're not in a medical emergency. But as we've heard, medical emergencies can hide behind apparently mild medical symptoms. Our investigation revealed that some GPs are signing off online medical certificates when it's clear the patient could be in a medical emergency and they don't know it. 7 registered doctors gave us the day off work instead of telling us to call 000 or go to the hospital when we reported chest pain through the largest of these online providers, Instant Scripts. In this final episode of our investigation, we find out what could happen if someone comes to serious harm using this kind of service, and whether regulators or the government have any plan to do something about it.
If someone came to me and said, I went to a doctor and told them I had chest pain and they gave me a certificate, but they didn't do anything else, and subsequent to that, I now have some very serious injuries. As a solicitor working in medical negligence, my immediate thought would be, I suspect we have a case here.
Tom McKinnon is a senior associate at National Compensation Lawyers and a specialist in medical negligence law.
So I suspect there will be someone or a group of people that do reach out to people like me and solicitors in the medical negligence field because they have slipped through the cracks.
And in terms of legal consequences for a doctor, what's the worst case scenario there?
If you go to one of these online services and you're a young professional that's on a relatively decent salary per year, you also have a very fruitful and enjoyable life, and they miss the opportunity to prevent this person in this scenario from a heart attack, such that they suffer from very serious symptoms for the rest of their life, that would be a very, very significant monetary claim. You know, it could be easily millions of dollars.
All of the online medical certificate services we reviewed featured some version of a disclaimer, asking the patient to confirm they do not require urgent medical attention.
Ultimately, GPs don't have an ability to delegate their responsibility to someone else in a clinical setting. If a patient attends a GP for treatment, if it's online or in person, it is irrelevant. That GP has an obligation to provide reasonable treatment to that patient. If a GP is providing treatment, then they are ultimately responsible for that patient's health and safety.
The names and numbers on the certificates we received tell us that these doctors are all currently registered and practicing medicine in Victoria, South Australia, and New South Wales. We tried to contact all of them. 2 that had worked with Instant Scripts got back to us. I can't tell you their names for legal reasons, but I can tell you what they told me, which was that they reviewed requests from between 30 and 50 patients on an average day. One of these doctors told me, quote, "The flow of patients is too much, and that can put a lot of stress on everyone working." They said some of that work is proper telehealth consults over the phone and video call. Some of it is signing off prescriptions, and some of it is what they described as a fast-track service, signing medical certificates. The doctors told me they only earn $1 for every medical certificate request they assess, on top of their other remuneration. Wesfarmers and Instant Scripts did not respond when we asked whether this incentivised doctors to churn through as many as possible as quickly as possible. The Australian Health Practitioners Regulation Agency, or ARPRA, is the watchdog here. It works with the Medical Board of Australia to protect the public from potentially dangerous healthcare and sets national standards. It has the power to put conditions on doctors' registrations or even kick them out of the profession. Late last year, ARPRA put out updated guidelines on how doctors are meant to practice telehealth in Australia. Tragically, these guidelines are jargony as hell, but I will read a key bit to you. Providing healthcare, including issuing certificates through questionnaire-based asynchronous web-based tools in the absence of a real-time patient-doctor consultation, is not good practice. Asynchronous, the most jargony of jargon words, I'm sorry, but that's the key one to remember. It means not at the same time. In other words, a doctor should discuss your condition with you in real time. You filling out a form and then at some point in the future your doctor reading that form, by APRA's standard, does not count as good medicine.
The medical board thinks it's really important that whenever a doctor interacts with a patient to provide them with a service, that they actually do interact with them.
Dr. Anne Tonkin is the chair of the Medical Board of Australia. She was appointed as an officer of the Order of Australia for her distinguished service to medical professional regulation last year.
So asynchronous just means the patient does something in one time frame and then the doctor deals with whatever the information that's been provided in another time frame. So they're not together at any point to have a conversation.
Why is that a concern? Is it a safety risk?
Yeah, and the board's very concerned that there are really important questions that doctors are trained to ask in relation to any kind of symptom that a patient might have, just to follow up on how serious the symptom might be, how serious the cause might be. So if you're not having a conversation, you can't do that, and that's not fair when the patient hasn't had medical training. The board has the view that the doctor is the professional and the doctor should be making those judgment calls, not the patient. Because there are things that we're taught in medical school that wave red flags in our brains that say this is a potential emergency, and it's not necessarily something that the general public know about.
How many potential symptoms are out there that perhaps a layperson wouldn't realise is a medical emergency?
Yeah, heaps, you know, dozens, possibly hundreds. It's very context specific. So if you have a headache in one context, it might mean nothing. You might be under a bit of stress or something like that. You might have a migraine. In another context, it might mean you've got a bleed into your brain and that's a medical emergency. So we would follow up with a whole bunch of questions that would tease out the likelihood of it being something really serious. And if you can't ask the questions, then you can't make those subtle judgments. You know, the really serious causes are rare, but they do happen and it could cause really serious damage to someone if it's missed.
In our investigation, seven doctors separately provided us with medical certificates and no advice that we should call 000, go to the hospital, get any kind of emergency medical assessment. What's your response to those findings?
Quite frankly, I think that's alarming. I really think that is very concerning and that's certainly not good medical practice and it's not safe for the public if doctors are behaving in that way. I'm really disappointed to hear about that and I think that is an illustration of why asynchronous healthcare is not good medical practice.
How serious is this kind of conduct?
In the case where somebody may be having chest pain because they're having a heart attack, it could be a matter of life or death.
What would be the consequences for a doctor caught providing a medical certificate instead of advising a patient to call 000 or get emergency medical assessment in that kind of scenario?
If you go to the worst possible case scenario, if somebody has filled in a form and said, I have chest pain, and they get a medical certificate rather than advice, and then they're found dead at home, for example. You know, I think the coroner would have something to say about the behaviour of the doctor who provided the medical certificate. And then following the coroner, the board would be interested in looking into that case as well. It is, I think, important for doctors to know that if something goes wrong, and it could go very wrong, they will still be held responsible. It's a very, I think, sad development, really, that at least some parts of the profession are moving to this sort of tick and flick approach to medical practice because it can't be very satisfying. It's bad for patient safety. I think it's very likely someone is being harmed.
Does APRA monitor the number of doctors and businesses using asynchronous services to provide care to patients?
No, that's not the role of APRA or the medical board to monitor organisations, and we don't look over people's shoulders to see how they're practising. Up until recently, we've responded to people telling us that something's gone wrong, and we call that a notification, when we respond to notifications by investigating what happened and looking at the risk of something that might be damaging to the public happening again going forward. The change in the way in which medicine is being practiced may lead us to have a think about how we do that, but we are set up to regulate individual health practitioners, in our case doctors, rather than organisations. So we need to focus on the individuals, and it is difficult in the way in which we are set up currently to do that kind of proactive monitoring that you're talking about. So the short answer to that is actually no. At this point, we don't do that.
Is that a clear patient safety risk that the medical regulator is incapable of monitoring what appears to be a significant risk to the public?
I need to think about how we go about our business of regulation. And we do proactive things. We set up guidelines. We communicate with the profession. We say very clearly we don't think asynchronous healthcare is good medical practice and good healthcare. The concept of proactively watching what people do, particularly online, is, I think, in practical terms, very difficult, not to mention in resource terms, it would be a very difficult thing for us to do.
Is there anything that APRA can do in light of this new information from our investigation?
It's certainly very interesting information and quite concerning information. I will take this one back to the board and have a discussion with our legal team about what we can do, whether there's anything more we can do at this point. I think it would be a good time for us to make some more public statements about the dangers of this kind of practice and encourage medical professionals not to engage in this kind of practice. So there are a number of things we can do, and certainly after talking to you and with the data that our APRA colleagues have been able to put together from notifications, which I recognise that the notifications at this point are probably the tip of a rather large iceberg, but we need to think about what we can do about the iceberg, and certainly I'm more than willing to take that on.
So APRA and the Medical Board of Australia will see what they can do. It's worth pointing out, though, that clearly their guidelines aren't working. Patients are using these asynchronous services all over the country every single day. We asked the Federal Health Minister, Mark Butler, to speak to us about our investigation. He wasn't available for an interview, but he told us reports of this nature are concerning and that the Department of Health is aware of the emergence of these online models of care. He said his department is investigating emerging online healthcare models, although it's unclear whether their investigation would cover the services we've been telling you about, because some of them are purely private businesses whose doctors don't claim on Medicare for reviewing tick box online questionnaires and handing out medical certificates. And finally, at the end of his statement, there's this. I would absolutely encourage anyone experiencing chest pain to visit a health professional as soon as possible or to call an ambulance, rather than accessing an online service to seek a medical certificate. So, what does Wesfarmers and Instant Scripts have to say about all this? Chief Operating Officer Richard Skimmin and Doctors Services Director Bridget Carruthers did not respond to the briefing's request for an interview. But a spokesperson for Wesfarmers Health, which owns Instant Scripts, told us in a statement, "Good healthcare organisations invest in continuous improvement, and this is what we are doing at Instant Scripts. We have a dedicated clinical governance team working closely with doctors to enhance and evolve our service while continuing to ensure it's accessible and affordable. The provision provision of medical certificates is one area where we're making improvements. Wesfarmers Health also said it was improving information to support doctors' decision-making and working on an unnamed system enhancement to make it quicker and easier for doctors to connect with patients seeking medical certificates. Finally, they've added a new question to their online form. The question is, do you have difficulty breathing or chest pain? Instant Scripts added the question in recent weeks after we spoke to one of their doctors as part of this investigation. Now, let's leave aside for a moment the fact this form still doesn't automatically exclude patients with other textbook emergency symptoms. Changing the form misses the point. Every day, all of these online medical certificate services where you don't talk to a doctor about your symptoms in real time are breaking the national health guidelines that are meant to keep Australians safe. And no one is stopping them. So what can we do to keep ourselves safe next time we feel a bit off and we need the day off work? After months of reporting on this story, my key takeaway is this. If you need a medical certificate and you can't get a GP appointment in person, or you just don't want to spend $60 on it, you should insist at the very least on getting a telehealth consult. That is, insist on speaking to a doctor about your condition on the phone or video call and ask for a medical certificate on that call. Because what you don't know can sometimes kill you, but a good GP might save your life. That's it for The Briefing's investigative series, Doctor's Note. We will keep reporting on this. So if you or someone you know has a story to tell about online medical certificates, please get in touch. The best way is to DM us on Instagram at The Briefing Podcast. The next regular episode of The Briefing will be in your feed from 3. I'm Ben Sion-Siebert. Speak to you soon. Listener.